Psalm 9, the name Emmanuel means God with us. In today's scripture, we hear the yearning for this Emmanuel, for God to become so present that God's peace, truth, love, and justice reign among all the world and bring balance to what feels out of place and out of sorts. Our scripture today echoes a promise that was found in Isaiah 7, when Isaiah says, "Listen, house of David, isn't it enough for you to be tiresome for people that you are also tiresome before God? Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. The young woman is pregnant and about to give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel. He will eat butter and honey and learn to reject evil and choose good." And we hear the echo of that prophecy in today's account of Jesus' birth from Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all hearts here be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Frederick Buechner recalls that as the Italian film La Dolce Vita opens, a helicopter is flying slowly through the sky, not very high above the ground. Hanging down from the helicopter in a kind of halter is a life-size statue of a man dressed in robes with his arms outstretched so that he looks almost as if he is flying himself, especially when every once in a while the camera cuts out the helicopter and all you can see is the statue itself with the rope around it. It flies over a field where some men are working in tractors and causes a good deal of commotion. The men wave their hats and hop around and yell, and then one of them recognizes who the statue is of and shouts in Italian, "Hey, it's Jesus!" Whereupon some of the men start running along under the plane, waving and calling to it, but the helicopter keeps going. After a while, it reaches the outskirts of Rome, where it passes over a building with a swimming pool on the roof. The pool is surrounded by a number of girls in bikinis basking in the sun. And of course, the girls look up also, and they start to wave. This time, the helicopter does a double take as the young men flying it get a good look at the girls and then circle back again to hover over the pool. Above the roar of the engine, they try to get the girls' telephone numbers, explaining that they are taking the statue to the Vatican and will be only too happy to return as soon as their mission is completed. Buechner saw this film for the first time as part of an audience in a little college town where the reaction of the mostly student audience was to laugh at the incongruity of the whole thing. There was this sacred statue dangling from the sky on the one hand and the profane young Italians and the young bathing beauties on the other. One was made of stone, so remote, so out of place in the sky on the end of its rope. The other made of flesh, so bursting with life. Nobody in the audience was of any doubt as to which of the two came out ahead or at whose expense the laughter was. But when the helicopter continues on its way and the great dome of St. Peter's looms from below, and for the first time the camera starts to zoom in on the statue itself with its arms stretched out until for a moment the screen is almost filled with just the bearded face of Jesus. And at that moment, the laughter stopped. In that theater full of students and their dates and cups of full of buttery popcorn and La Dolce Vita college-style living, nobody laughed because there was something about that face. There on the screen that for a few seconds made them be silent. The face hovering there in the sky with the outstretched arms. For a moment, not a very long one to be sure, there was no sound. As if the face were their face somehow. Their secret face that they had never seen before, but that they knew belonged to them, or the face that they had never seen before, but that they knew, if only for a moment, they belonged to. And it was just such a moment that we have been journeying toward this Advent. A moment when we recognize something about ourselves in the face of Jesus, when God comes down to be revealed as the one who is right beside us. For God is not the one dangling above us, far away in the heavens, though God certainly is there, above and beyond anything we can imagine. And God is not simply a concept upon which we can build our lives, though certainly Christ is our sure foundation and cornerstone. And God is not simply the provider of an idea or a philosophy for us to follow, though certainly God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And God is not simply the one who comes along behind us to clean up our mess, though certainly God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The one for whom we watch and wait, the one whose birth we will celebrate this Tuesday evening, is God with us, the one in whose life we find our life, the one who comes along beside us and changes things forever. It has been said that there are two kinds of friends when we find ourselves in troubling times. There is the friend who says, "I'll be praying for you. Call me if you ever need anything. I'm sorry you're having to go through this." And they are sincere, and we are thankful for them. And it is comforting to know that they are there if we need them. And then there is the second kind of friend, the one who, when they hear that something is wrong, rush to be with us, who stay by our side, go through everything with us. They often don't say much or do much. They're just there, and their presence makes us know that we are not in this alone. In Jesus, God was revealed as that second kind of friend to us. We had always known that God was there for us. We knew that we were created in the image of God, chosen through Abraham and Sarah to be God's people, freed from slavery in Egypt, led through the wilderness, established in the land. God was there for us. God listened and acted on our behalf. But in the coming of Jesus, God does something more. God joins us. This is why God tells Joseph to name the baby Emmanuel, because his coming promises that we are no longer having to go through anything alone. For in Christ, God is with us, and God isn't going anywhere. For I am sure, Paul declares in Romans, that nothing, not death, not life, not principalities, not powers, nor height, nor depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has come and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The circumstances of our life may not always be filled with grace and truth, but God's presence is with us. We may not always feel the presence. We may at times lose sight of God with us, but that doesn't mean that God isn't there. For God in Christ, Emmanuel, is at our side through it all, and that is the source of our peace. That is the promise that fills us with joy. The motion picture, Bridge Over the River Kwai, was selected as one of the 100 great films of the 20th century. And in the story, some British prisoners of war during World War II are held by the Japanese in Burma in very difficult circumstances. It was made into a motion picture that won an Academy Award. That is what most of us know about it. But Ernest Gordon, theologian, preacher, former chaplain at Princeton, wrote a book called Through the Valley of the Kwai. And in the book, he told another side of the story of degradation and desolation that was experienced by those impoverished prisoners. His book tells how those in the camp interacted with one another. When those young soldiers first realized that they were going to be there for a while, they began to have Bible study and to pray to be delivered from their captivity. He writes, "We knew that the thrust of our prayer was to be delivered from the prison camp, and that was it. Our praying was shallow and superficial, and we were railing against God for letting us be here. But something happened to us, and that kind of railing against God disappeared. We began to move toward a more mature faith. We began to pray about how we could relate to one another in those bad situations. No longer was it, 'Why, God?' but it was, 'How should we act, God?'" Gordon says that the most spiritual moment of his life was Christmas 1944. Out of deference to the men in the camp, they were not given work detail that day and were given a bit more food. He said that as they moved around the prison yard, they sensed that things were different. In one of the barracks, basically a thatched hut with a dirt floor and open sides where the men slept, one soldier began to sing a Christmas carol. It was echoed over the infirmary where men were dying. Then all around the camp, the men began to sing. And those who could, those who were ambulatory, came to the parade field and sat there in a great circle. Gordon said, "God touched us that day." He said it was the most sacred thing he had ever experienced. No preaching, nothing of the usual church paraphernalia, just men united in their common misery, singing of God being with them, and God's sovereignty, and experiencing the peace that comes from God's presence. He concludes, "We were touched by God." May we all experience that touch this Christmas. May we all recognize our own face in Jesus. And may we be assured that we are not alone, that Emmanuel, God, is with us this day and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.